Nick, welcome to Baskin and Phelps.
How what up?
What's going on, guys? How are we doing? Missed you last week. Great to be back.
Yeah, we missed you. I hear you on the big time commercials, though. That's great.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, nice. It's great. It's great until you get the first world problems, like 30, 60 second commercials that you have to do like today, like by tomorrow. But yes, no complaints. But yeah. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, I'm happy for you. So thanks. Here we go. Take the 162 game regular season, throw it out the window, because the Astros are done, the Orioles are done, and you have the Tigers and the Royals, who as the fifth and sixth seeds advance. That puts the Tigers against the Guardians. What do you think? What do the folks who tell you where to put your money think?
Yeah, so I'll answer the question the second way. So my opinion is I think Cleveland's a lot better than Detroit. And I think that manifested itself, obviously, over the 162-game regular season. And I think Detroit is more a team that's built almost. And I think you can make a case that they can survive in a best-of-five. Like, I don't think the Tigers could beat the Royals or the Yankees in a best-of-seven, just the way, like, the starting pitching is constructed, where, you know, it's a lot easier when you get Skubal in one game and then you win one other and you advance, right? Or in a best-of-five, like, you know, opportunities are limited there for the other team. With the way the Tigers want to have Skubal and then maybe a couple openers, but work the bullpen here. So I think the Tigers have more advantages in smaller series than they do in a longer series. So I like the Guardians a little bit, but what I can tell you guys about the way that people I respect are betting the series, people like Detroit in the series, and it's less a team of destiny thing with the Tigers, and maybe that plays into it a little bit. The Tigers are obviously red hot. The Guardians have had some time off since the end of the regular season, but I think the way people view this is, in the non-Skubal starts for Detroit, so any game that Tarik Skubal does not start for the Tigers, that the games are going to be close to a coin flip. Now, if you're a Guardians fan and you disagree, and you think, you know, Bybee, you know, pitching in game one, where the Guards are, for what it's worth, a -150 favorite in the game, like, maybe you disagree with that. And if you do, then I think there's a valuable betting opportunity for you to bet your favorite team, the Cleveland Guardians. Again, just presenting what I have been told by people who really handicap this stuff, that the non-Skubal games are coin flips, and the Skubal games are weighted way in favor of the Tigers. And to be fair, Skubal's going to win American League Cy Young in an absolute runaway. So the Tigers, I think, are going to be a sharp bet in the series. That doesn't mean that the Tigers are going to win. Personally, like, I like the Guardians a little bit, but I think the sharp money will be on the Detroit Tigers.
Does home field advantage mean anything in the gaming world?
I mean, it should.
In baseball.
Like, I think in
baseball,
in some spots it does. You know, we're still in like the infancy of this new base, this playoff format, right? With the expanded wild card. And we see it every year where favorites get upset. One seeds get upset. You know, like, look, we just saw Detroit win two games in Houston. We just saw Kansas City win two games in Baltimore. The Mets could win tonight and knock the Brewers out. Like, three of the home teams in the wild card series, like, could all get sent home. And we see this happen year after year. So, like, I want to tell you that home field matters a lot. I mean, with the way this format works, it does feel like it's a little neutralized here. And especially with two teams that know each other, as well as the Tigers and Guardians do, two teams that play in the same division, the AL Central, I do think it's a little mitigated. So again, like, my opinion, I think Cleveland is more likely to advance, but I do think that Detroit is going to be the quote-unquote sharp betting side in the series.
So in other words, good opportunity maybe if you're behind the Guardians here?
I mean, I think so, okay. And I'll probably have a bet on that. But I mean, we're close to, you know, Cleveland's a slight favorite in the series, -120. Detroit's +100. For context, the Yankees are like a -200 favorite against the Kansas City Royals. So basically, the betting market is saying that these two teams are close to equal. And you know, Detroit obviously had the magical run, like best team in baseball over the last 6 weeks or so of the season, beat the Astros two straight on the road. And this is where, like, you as a fan, you, the person listening, you get to weigh in with your opinion and say either, yes, I think momentum matters. The Tigers have it rolling right now. They have a great manager, you know, garbage cans notwithstanding in Houston. Mm. And you think the Tigers can win this? Or you want to say the regular season matters a lot more. The Guardians showed that they're better. Give me the Cleveland Guardians. And it's close to even money, depending on how you want to bet it.
Who do you like overall? Are you a Yankees Dodgers guy, or what do you think?
So, not the Dodgers. Never the Dodgers. Mm. You will hear a lot of people say, both you guys and you, the person listening to this, a lot of people are going to like the San Diego Padres. That doesn't mean it's wrong to like the Padres. And the Dodgers can win the series. I can just give you what I'm going to do as a bettor. I will bet against the Dodgers in every postseason round. If they win this, whoever they play in the NLCS, I'm betting the other team. World Series, if they make it, I'm betting the other team. And if I'm broke at the end, like, so be it. The Dodgers have no pitching. Like, you want to trust, like, Jack Flaherty and Yamamoto? Like, okay, like, maybe. Now here's Landon Knack, like, who was in AAA, like, 2 months ago, and Walker Buehler, who hasn't been good in over a year. Like, I don't trust this team at all. I love in this series. So I bet the Padres about plus 120 to win the series against the Dodgers. And again, I am big time fade on the LA Dodgers. Yankees Royals. Now, I'm a Yankee fan for context. Been rooting for them my entire life. I do think, like, they should win. And there is no reason why the Yankees should not make the World Series. That is not meant to be an insult to the Guardians or the Tigers. Like, the Yankees on paper are the best team. The thing that worries me in this series is Kansas City starting pitching is a lot better than the Yankees starting pitching. Like, the Yankees have one pitcher that you can quasi-trust in a big spot in Gerrit Cole. Meanwhile, the Royals can throw out, Cole Reagans or Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo, even Brady Singer, if it comes down to it. The Royals starting pitching is better than the Yankees starting pitching. So, like, the Yankees are a deserved favorite, but my honest advice would be, as a bettor, you get plus money on the Royals if you're betting that series. Honestly, I would bet the Kansas City Royals, and I hate to say that as a Yankee fan.
Nick Costos joining us, the Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. I want to go back to something you said about the new format. Andy and I have been talking about this a lot. I can't stand a three-game series. What does it do when, after 162, you have a three-game series, you think you know a team, but Nick, it's baseball, and anything can happen in three games in baseball. How does that affect what you do?
I come at this from a very selfish perspective, not from, like, the baseball purist perspective. I understand that viewpoint. I make my money talking about betting on sports. I love to bet on sports. I like when there's more games. This format gives us more games to bet on. Therefore, I like it. Like, I'm happy the college football playoff expanded. I would like for the NCAA tournament to expand. I want more. So I'm happy with this, but I certainly understand people that would lean towards the opposite. And also, betting-wise, think about, right, and it's a little anecdotal, we only have a couple-year sample size here, how many upsets have there been in the Major League Baseball playoffs? Like, theoretically, gives you the better an opportunity to make more money if, like, more big underdogs are winning. Again, like, I had the Royals in the series against the... I felt like that was... not that the bet had to win, but that's an easy bet, I feel like, Kansas City over Baltimore. I bet the Mets in the series. We'll see how tonight goes. They should have had it wrapped up last night. But I think it provides us with some great betting opportunities. So the baseball purist, I would understand if he or she didn't like it. I personally love it.
I'm just... as I was thinking about this the other day, two games on Monday night, like it? Good, bad for the gaming industry, or just do you like it? I like it. I like these two games on Monday night, and primarily because you kind of maybe get one that's dog and one that's awesome. So I'm just curious your thoughts on that.
That would be where I would lean, which is the last thing that you said there. And we've had that the last couple of weeks, right? But so 2 weeks ago was Bills, Jaguars, Bengals, Commanders, right? Bills, Jaguars was Bills 47-10. Commanders, Bengals was a really exciting game. Commanders with the upset win. This past Monday, Dolphins, Titans the first game, and then Seahawks, Lions the second game. Dolphins, Titans, like, might have set football back to, like, the Mesozoic era, where dinosaurs roam the earth. It's a terrible football game, but Lions, Seahawks was awesome. So, look, like, if you're going to tell me, just for it's like, the Bills and Chiefs are playing on a Monday night, like, I don't think we need, Texans, Raiders also on Monday night. But if you're going to give, like, two average games, like, yeah, then give me more games. One great standalone game I would prefer, but if we're talking a couple mid-teams, then, yeah, like, I'd like two games on Monday.
Our Cleveland Browns are taking on the team that has made everybody stand up and take notice, the Washington Commanders on Sunday. What do you think?
So it's a fascinating, I actually think, and this is not hyperbole, this is the most interesting betting game of the weekend in the NFL. Like, it's not the most interesting game for, like, a neutral observer, but betting-wise, this is the most interesting game of the weekend. And it's because... I don't like the Browns in the game, and I can get into, I like Washington, but a lot of people that I really respect that make their own, like, power ratings in the NFL, create their own point spreads, like, base their bets on things like that, are going to like the Browns in this game. They are just absolutely going to like Cleveland. Like, I had a guy come on my show as a betting analyst for NBC Sports on Monday, and he made the Browns a favorite in the game, like had Cleveland as a one-point favorite. And the thought is just, coming into the season, the team's power ratings were this. Like, the Browns coming into the season, obviously, like, think about it. Week one, the Browns were favored at home against the Cowboys. Like, how the mighty have fallen, how things have changed over the last month. The thought is that four games might be too small of a sample size to capture what these teams are, and you want to play them back to the middle. And if you can get more than 3 points, and the point spread right now is 3.5, Washington favored by 3.5, then the Browns would have to be a valuable bet. I'm more willing, as a bettor, and I think fans are more willing to do this as well, to kind of like trust the evidence of your eyes and ears. The Commanders are awesome. The defense is bad, but can improve as the season goes along. The passing offense is one of the best, and one of like the three or four best in the league. So I think you're going to get a good performance from Jaden Daniels and this Washington offense. And on the flip side, the Browns are the walking wounded. Like, it's a disaster injury report yesterday. And I heard, you know, the update at the top of the hour with the Kevin Stefanski quotes on Conklin and Wills. I mean, this is a disaster. Like, Teller's out for a while. Like, Conklin and Wills might not play. Myles Garrett's dealing with an Achilles injury, even if he plays. It's bad news for the Cleveland Browns. And I actually thought, guys, I thought Deshaun Watson played pretty well on Sunday against the Raiders, and they obviously got jobbed on the Amari Cooper touchdown, terrible holding call there. Maybe they win the game if that call is not made, but I mean, this team is still not good. The offense is still not good. Maybe when they get Nick Chubb back and focus and become more of a power running team again when the offensive line gets healthy. But I mean, for me in this game, I almost don't care about power ratings. You give me the Commanders -3, I will take it coming up on Sunday against the Browns.
Are the Browns at 5.5 wins on the season? Is that correct?
Well, let's see. Let's see their schedule. So I think they're going to lose on Sunday, and that would mean they're, what, 1-4?
Mm-hmm.
So then let's see what we got here. We've got at Eagles, loss.
I feel like you're in your laboratory right now, cooking up, trying to figure this thing out.
Give me yeah. I mean, look, like, I would say 5.5 is probably wrong. Or how about this? I wouldn't bet it. And the, like, under 5.5. And the reason why is twofold. Number one, the offensive line is going to get healthier. Like, it can't possibly be, like, the situation can only be as bad. Like, it cannot be worse than it is right now. So, like, at some point, like, Conklin and Wills will come back, like, Teller will come back. At some point, Nick Chubb's going to be back and can change the offensive identity of the team. And the other thing that, like, I think, and I've said this with you guys for a month now, at some point, like, if they lose this game and Deshaun Watson plays poorly, and he should be able to play well because the Commanders' defense is bad, but, like, they lose this game, and maybe you give him one more shot on the road at the Eagles. Like, enough already. Like, Jameis Winston has to play. And Stefanski's just got to pull the trigger. And Haslam has to let them do it. You have to let them do it. You can't let the season waste away with this guy. And maybe with Jameis, the vibes do a full 180. And at least the team can look like they're having some fun out there. And it doesn't look like that right now. So I would say the combination of a potential quarterback change and the offensive line getting healthier, I think there is still some reason to believe that this season won't be a total disaster for Cleveland. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. But maybe won't be 5-12, 4-13, if that's fair.
I need a 10-second answer. Where you work, your office, whatever it is you're doing, wherever you do your stuff, how many computers, how many electronic devices do you have sitting around? About 14?
Well, unfortunately, so my wife and I, we had our first child in May.
Hey!
5 months. Yeah, thanks. 5 months old on Sunday. She'll be 5 months old.
Wow.
So we had to move everything from upstairs where my office was, and now I'm in my basement. And I still haven't, like, tricked this out fully yet. So I have one computer, and I have, like, one, like, nice TV. But I only have, like, one TV, and I do the show, and there's two baseball playoff games going on, and I can only watch one. And it's actually, like, it's really bad on my part. It's actually a terrible job by me, and I need to rectify it, like, this weekend.
Get it taken care of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Just let's face it. You have a kid now, get used to being in the basement.
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah, I mean, as two guys that are used to it, like, I live in the basement.
Basement's good.
Basement's great.
I'm still wondering if my family still lives in the house.
They
I hear
don't.
Them walking upstairs every once in a while, but yeah.
Nick,
as
thank
long
you,
as
buddy.
Alive,
That's
as
true.
Long as they're
point.
Alive. Wishing everyone minimal sweats when he bets the absolute very best of luck. Hey, in all sincerity, I hope we get Yankees Guardians in the ALCS. And we've taken revenge on you guys a couple times, but I can tell you, 14-year-old Nick Costos is still steaming about Sandy Alomar in 1997.
Oh, that's too bad.
See you, bud.
Later.
You got it.
Thanks, Nick. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner's Andy Baskin.
As he was saying that, I was envisioning the Haslam family sitting around a campfire just lighting $100 bills and throwing them in the fire, if that's the case in 2 weeks. That's all I could think about. I was like, I cannot see a scenario other than...
I can't either.
I don't see that scenario at all. It'd be one thing if... DeShaun's physically unable to perform, okay? I can understand that, but I think that's the only way Jameis Winston's getting in these games. Go back to the Dallas game, right? They were out of it at the end, and you're saying to yourself, why are you leaving your starting quarterback in the game? You have no chance of winning. Put your backup in and make sure your starter doesn't get hurt so he can come back for the next week. If it didn't happen then, it's not happening. So, sit back, relax, and you'd be happy that DeShaun maybe perhaps played better in the last game, because you better hope that he keeps playing better every week.
All right, let me throw this one at you though.
Sure.
I heard what you said. Your Cleveland-based opinion on that.
Yeah.
And I agree with it completely. But Nick's not from Cleveland.
Right.
He doesn't feel the same way about the situation that we do.
Oh, I think if I was on the outside looking in, I would see it the same way. If you didn't know the story, you would say, why are they still playing him? I don't understand
it. So which one is more accurate?
You really want to know? I think ours is.
I do. Well, I do too, except
I understand where he's coming from.
We're quite tainted by it because we're sitting here and we've been living this for 2.5 years. We're tainted by this. We think there's no way you move on from the guy, because you're paying him all the money and you gave up so much to get him in the middle of that contract. I still believe that. I don't think you make a change based on performance during this season. But here's Nick. Nick deals with money. That's what he does for a living. And he's not here. And he thinks you move on from the guy if it doesn't go well the next two games. I think that's fascinating.
I think if you're looking at it from an outside perspective, that you would say the same thing. Hey, our starting quarterback isn't getting it done. They need to make a change, or they need to figure out a way to get this offense moving with him in some other way, shape, or form. I just don't see – I cannot see them changing DeShaun Watson for Jameis Winston. I just don't I think the odds of Jameis getting traded – before the trade deadline would be greater than them switching out just because the Browns aren't winning.
I can't see them making the move because of play. I just think they have so much invested that they're giving it a 3-year trial at least. I do think if it's not working this year, that you cut bait at the end of the year.
I cannot see ownership sitting around a campfire saying, okay, oh, you know, ooh, let's light up
campfires?
This Why everyone enjoys a good campfire, don't you?
You end up all stinky. The wind blows; it blows the smoke all over you.
Jeff, come on, man! It's all a part of the
s'mores are overrated.
What?
How dare you?
What?
That was a run of blasphemy that ended with the biggest blasphemy you've ever told.
I don't know anybody that doesn't enjoy a good campfire. Do you know anybody that doesn't enjoy a good campfire?
Apparently, we're sitting with one.
Yeah,
like a good story about a bridge. Oh, sorry. Family Guy reference.
Yep.
Rob is in Hudson. Hello, Rob.
Rob.
Jeff, longtime listener, first time caller. How
awesome,
you doing?
Awesome, Rob. Glad.
Me too. I feel the same way about him. Awesome.
Well, I introduced him. He was getting to you.
No, I don't.
They folks
I said
do it the other
thing.
Way around when you're leaving.
I'm a longtime listener, longtime watcher of Jeff Phelps as well.
Hey, so I got an interesting point here about DeShaun Watson. Actually, many interesting points that I want to make.
You think?
Well, I think.
Jeff will be the judge of that. Just want you to know.
Yeah, I shouldn't flatter myself before I make the point. But, you know, I'm a father of two young boys, and I'm going to make an analogy, you know, based on Little League.
Okay.
So every Little League pitcher has one, or every Little League team has one pitcher where, you know, you go to the field and you just kind of know you're going to lose that day.
Okay.
You've seen him pitch, he just can't get it over, and you kind of know you're going to lose.
Okay.
DeShaun Watson is that guy on the Browns team right now.
Oh, boy.
That vibe permeates throughout the entire team when DeShaun Watson takes the field.
Wow.
And I think that vibe is bringing the entire team down in the sense that we get to the field, we know that guy's taking the mound or taking the snap, and it's almost, you know, the guys, I'm sure, are trying to hype themselves up to win, but it's almost a foregone conclusion that it's over. This guy can't play anymore. I'm not going to get into the off-the-field stuff, but Jimmy Haslam has to let his ego get out of the way and sit this guy down. The Browns are simply not going to go anywhere with Deshaun Watson at quarterback.
Okay. So you agree with Nick Costos?
I couldn't agree more. Okay. I know not to make any statements about anybody's innocence or guilt when it comes to, you know, matters of criminal or civil nature, but I do not feel this gentleman is worthy of wearing the orange and brown.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would send Deshaun Watson home for the duration of his contract and plan forward without him.
Don't be a stranger. Call again.
Thanks.
All right, Rob. It's Robin Hudson calling for the first time.
Plenty of points?
Plenty of points. He wants to just send him home.
It's not that easy.
No, it certainly isn't.
Can we stop it? I mean, it's just like...
Certainly isn't.
I mean, anytime any quarterback goes out there and struggles a little bit, or even plays at medium range, you can't just send him home. Not in the NFL. It doesn't work that way.
Nick Costos, last segment, just said, Washington, then Philadelphia. If Deshaun's not playing great, you bench him for Jameis. Andy and I don't think that's possible. Kevin is in Cuyahoga Falls. Kevin.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good, how are you?
I am fantastic. I could not disagree with this whole throw Deshaun Watson on the bus any stronger. I mean, 100% diametrically opposed to that. I think that's a bad take. I think it's short-sighted. And as you know, I love numbers. So let me throw some numbers at you.
Okay.
Last game, put the line at 258, two TDs, one interception, 25 completions with a 76% completion rate. That's a top five quarterback right there all day, every day. Now, I understand, you know, if my aunt had a you-know-what, she'd be my uncle. And that I'm concluding that penalty where our offensive line got called for a holding penalty. But the facts are he threw the pass. We won the game, fourth quarter, game over. We did it. Now, here's some more numbers. 19 sacks, the most in the entire NFL by a wide margin. 31 knockdowns, number one by a huge margin, by the way. 34 penalties, were the fifth most penalized team in the entire NFL. However, only 10 of those are on our defense. We are the most penalized offensive team in the entire NFL by a huge margin. So I know Jeff's new favorite word is putrid. That is
Used that for a long time.
I'm hammering it home lately, though, Kevin. You're right.
Well, it applies to our offensive line. They are putrid. Absolutely. We have numbers don't lie. We have the worst offensive line in the entire NFL by any metric you measure an offensive line by. And I'm just going to follow up with this. And, Andy, I agree with you. You've said it a number of times. At this rate, I have no confidence Deshaun Watson will make 17 games. You can't be the most sacked by quite a bit and the most knockdown quarterback and make 17 games. I don't see it happening. So people can yell and scream all they want at Deshaun Watson. Let's put the blame where it belongs. It is that offensive line that has played horrible. They are truly putrid in my eyes.
All right, Kevin. They're also truly injured in reality. That doesn't excuse the putrid, does it, completely? Other teams deal with that. That ultimately, Andy, they're going to have to figure out a way to make that offensive line work with whoever is out there.
Yeah, they're going to get healthier, though. I agree with that. There's no other way. Even if they stay where they are right now, the only way to go is, well, could get worse, but I would think the only way is to go is up. Please. Please go the other way.
You think?
Yeah.
You think? Coach D's got about a minute. Go ahead, Coach.
Hey, Coach D.
How's it going? Great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for calling in.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to call in. I hear you guys talking about Deshaun Watson and he could be potentially benched for Jameis Winston. I just want to point out that, again, like the last caller said, the offensive line has been playing terrible. But on top of that, Deshaun Watson is holding the ball a little bit long as well. But when you look at most of the plays, when you go back and look at some of the film, and I'm not some, you know, major coach in the world or anything like that, but I can count. So when you go back and count, he only has about 2, maybe 2.5 seconds on most of his throws.
Yep.
A lot of our routes we're running are taking about 3, 3.5 seconds. So he's not getting a chance to get the ball down the field to Jerry Jeudy and to Amari Cooper a lot of times. And those guys have to step up as well. Amari Cooper is not running good routes in this system, guys. He's a great route runner. But if you look at the last play from the last game, we had our tight end running a flag route, and he's running just fading back towards the flag instead of cutting out for the 3 yards. It was a 4th-and-3 play. If he cuts out, I don't know what the play is, but if he cuts out, we got a first down there. He's drifting back towards number 88, and then he can't throw the ball there anyway because number 70 is getting beat by a defensive tackle. So we got to call it what it is. The line's not playing well, and we got to stop blaming it on Deshaun Watson.
Coach D, thank you very
much. Thank you.
I wonder what Daryl Ryder thinks about what Nick Costos had to say.
It'll be interesting.
We'll find out next. Our Browns Beat reporter joins us right here on Baskin and Phelps. Browns Beat reporter, Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, sir.
Hey, Daryl, I hear you're doing a little podcast, too.
Hello, boys. How are we?
Hello.
Well, we kind of got shook up a little while ago.
Yeah, we did.
Don't know if you heard, Nick Costos, our Odyssey Sports betting insider, and obviously not connected to Cleveland like we are, said, you know what, I think Deshaun Watson played okay the other day, and if he doesn't play well against Washington and then doesn't play well against Philly, I'd bench him and play Jameis Winston. And Andy and I think that, okay, that there's absolutely no way that happens. What do you think?
I agree with you and Andy.
Okay. That,
I don't think that happens.
At the end of the year, maybe there's a big decision that's made if things haven't gone well. But in season, Daryl, I don't see anything that takes Deshaun out of the lineup other than injury. Do you?
Here's the thing. If he doesn't play the next 2 weeks, this season's over anyway. So does it really matter? Right? You're paying him $46 million a year. You might as well just leave him out there to, you know, finish the year out. Right? So, yeah, there's no quarterback change to be made, no matter how many people try to speak it into existence.
Is there a fire sale, though, if they I'm not saying it could start as early as next week, but it could start as early as next week, especially for somebody like Amari Cooper, who is, you know, without a contract here at the end of the year.
Well, remember the trade deadlines, I believe week 9 now.
Yeah,
after we got pushed back, Browns wanted it to be after week 10. The compromise was after week 9. So, I don't think as early as next week, because even if you're at 1-4, right, even though I think the season's over at that point, the Browns don't, the front office doesn't, right? Anything can happen. They can get hot and whatever, even though this team's never won more than 4 games in a row before, at least in this current iteration of this franchise. The reality is that I think that they would wait toward the end of October before they started selling pieces and parts. Now, if the season is circling the drain, then yeah, I'm all in favor of it. You know, you move Amari, you move Za'Darius Smith, you move those pieces and parts on 1-year contracts that aren't helping you win games today, that you can get additional draft capital, because I got to be honest with you, like, next April is going to be a critical draft for this franchise, because they haven't had a pick in the last 3 drafts in the first round. And most of the time when Andrew Berry has had a pick in the second round, he's traded that pick. So they need top picks in this upcoming draft to infuse this roster with some more youth. And it's one of the questions I asked Ken Dorsey about. This is a veteran team, one of the older teams in the NFL, and they're having problems with execution. You know, we can't sit here and say, well, they're a young team and figuring things out, whatever. You aren't hearing anything like that coming out of the nation's capital with Jaden Daniels. He has hit the ground running as a rookie. So, I would say if we get to mid to late October and this season circles the drain, if I'm Andrew Berry, I absolutely would conduct a fire sale.
Daryl, let me ask you, though. What's more likely after what your eyes have shown you in 4 games, that the team figures it out and gets back to what it's supposed to do this year and compete for a playoff spot, or that we get to the trade deadline and it's time to just move guys?
I think time to move guys.
Well,
because what we're seeing now is what I've been watching all offseason. So it hasn't been fixed yet. I don't think it's going to be fixed. You're going to see, you know, marked improvement in areas. You're going to, as I call it, the trail of cheese. You're going to get little morsels that keep stringing you along here. You know, it's not just one thing that's wrong, Jeff. It's everything that is wrong, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Like, I do feel like defensively, sure, you know, if they clean up their tackling, they're in good shape. Because that's really the only thing that I'm concerned about on that side of the ball, is that the tackling has not been as crisp. But on the offensive side of the ball, look, they got protection issues. They got run game issues. They got pass game issues. They got catching the football issues. I don't know if they have play calling issues, but they certainly have execution issues, right? They run the script well. They've scored 24 out of a possible 28 points on their opening drives. They have 30 points to show for the other 40-plus possessions that they've had. So, it's not just one thing that you zero in on. Say, hey, if they get this squared away, they're in great shape going forward. I mean, it's everything on offense that needs fixed right now.
All right, who is closest to coming back that might be able to help this team? There's only 30 guys. I think there's 56 guys on the injured list from yesterday. So,
well, actually, it's 18. Those of us counting, and I did count.
You know,
18.
We don't do math on this show, so it's 156 as far as I'm concerned.
I can't do the math and do the how many times 18 goes into 156 off the top of my head, but I'm sure it's a calculation of some sort. But anyway,
yes.
Nick Chubb's not going to play this week. I think that's pretty clear. Especially with Ken Dorsey's answer this morning about they're just not there yet when you're talking about workload and fitting him into game plans and things like that. So he's not playing this week.
How about running the ball in general? Did Ken say they might actually run the ball this week?
Well, if you don't have an offensive line that can't move anybody, I don't know if, you know.
I don't know, but I'm watching other teams run the ball, Daryl, and I'm like, they've got to figure out a way to run the ball. Have to.
Well,
means putting a fullback in there and two tight ends.
No, they don't have Mick Karras is your fullback, and right now he has to play center. So, sorry.
No, pick one up. Pick one up. That's what I say.
Then what you're going to ultimately say, Andy, if that's what they do, then you're basically going to say what we did this offseason was a waste of our time.
Well, so far at 1-3, it feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm not arguing. I'm just like, I think that they're just going to bang their head against the wall and. Until
continue doing what they're
something
doing.
Breaks.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think you're right, Daryl.
It's a philosophy thing, you know. And again, you don't have an offensive line that can move anybody. but you're right. Like you go to the Jacksonville game, right? When they put that 16 play drive that they almost chewed 10 minutes off the clock, right?
Right.
They ran the ball, and it worked. And it's like, oh, Eureka, what do you know? Nice long drive. They ran the ball. That's why they had a nice long drive. So I don't – it's not that I disagree with your premise. I just don't think that it's something that they're going to commit to. They may do it for a drive, you know what I mean? Or they may do it for two drives. But it's just I just don't think it's something that they're going to commit to regularly. And, you know, and I want to caution people when Nick Chubb comes back – and is able to play, you can't give him a full workload, and you can't expect that he's going to save your offense either. This offense is different. The blocking schemes are different. That's what they spent the whole offseason doing. So, you know, your premise isn't off, Andy. I think you and I see eye to eye on that. But, you know, again, I kind of feel like they're just going to do what they planned on doing this year and you know, they're going to sink or swim, and right now they're sinking.
All right, let's go back to and finish up that question about who might play. Njoku?
Yeah, I would say David Njoku has probably got the best chance to come back
this week.
And well, we'll see. I mean, it's nothing guaranteed. He was limited at practice yesterday. You know, Jack and Jed, watch is in week 5, and they didn't practice yesterday. They desperately need those guys back and available. Just don't know when that's going to be. You know, Jed did come back, and he lasted, a half a football, if that. So, but yeah, if I have to pick between the walking wounded that has been missing time, I would say David Njoku is the closest.
Daryl Ryder joining us. He's our Browns beat reporter. Tell me, what do you think here? It's been four not typical Amari Cooper games for Amari Cooper. Is there an issue, or is it just four not typical games?
I want to think it's just four not typical games, right? I mean, but the guy's human, right?
And sure.
We've talked at length about everything that's happened. He didn't get his contract extension. He didn't get his pay raise. He's 30 years old. So the folks that are like, hey, the Browns should trade for Davante Adams. Davante Adams is 31. So if they didn't sign the guy that was 30 and coming off back-to-back 1,000-yard receiving seasons and becoming the first player in franchise history to do that, they're not going out and trading for 31-year-old Davante Adams. That's just not going to happen. So, I would like to think that this is just a little speed bump in the road. He's a veteran. Ken Dorsey mentioned it today. He, you know, has all the confidence in Amari. They, as a team, have all the confidence in Amari. Deshaun Watson, you know, mentioned yesterday, hey, he's my guy. I'm going to keep going back to him. He knows I'm going to keep going back to him. So it's just, you know, obviously it falls on Amari to just go ahead and start making some of those plays. The unfortunate thing, though, Jeff, is he made a play in Las Vegas. And Nick Harris got called for holding.
Yeah.
And it got wiped off the board. So, you know, while it's easy to say he's not making plays, he would have had a game-changing play on Sunday with that 82-yard touchdown. I lean more towards Amari's going to get it together rather than this is just what it's going to be all season with him.
I would think so, too. I would think that's the case as well. Daryl, thanks, buddy.
You bet, guys.
Thanks, Daryl. We'll see you on that podcast called It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. Thank you. And listen to.
You bet.
He's a promotional machine, Daryl.
He doesn't care. YouTube is another place where you can watch it. Odyssey app or YouTube.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, we had a good one last night.
NFL Rapid Fire. Get ready. Coming up next right here on Baskin and Phelps.